Blog Talk Radio.
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power. So I remember riding my bicycle when I was a little boy, maybe 7 years old, maybe 8 years old, in Southern California. And at the time, there was the Zodiac Killer. I don't know if anybody out there remembers the Zodiac Killer. There was a serial killer. And as a little boy, you didn't know much. It was just kind of fearful. But the day came when the serial killer was caught, and people everywhere in our neighborhood were excited about it, and the news went out. They've caught the Zodiac Killer, and the joy that it brought, and everybody felt really free and happy. Well, we're living in such a time when there are so many monsters on the loose, and isn't it going to be a great day when all the monsters are rounded up and when they're all put away in prison like that Zodiac Killer? Isn't that going to be a great day? I love what the scriptures teach about a future millennium. I love the idea and the truth that God has taught that there will come a time on this planet that all the monsters will be thrown into the lake of fire, and that everybody that resists God for whatever reason will be taken away, and that the righteous people that will remain in the everlasting kingdom on this earth and all over the world with eternal life will have no memory of the past. They're not going to feel bad about lost loved ones that didn't make it to heaven. They're going to have all their tears wiped away from their eyes. They're going to rule and reign in the kingdom of God. There is nothing that's going to make them afraid or sad or sorry. I'm telling you, the Bible teaches that we are going to have glorified bodies. We're not going to be in these earth suits much longer. And that God actually said that the stars will sing again. The universe will get back into its harmony. Men's hearts will have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and with those glorified bodies have born again spirits that will go on into eternity in obedience and love for the Lord. And a restoration will happen all over the world. There'll be no more need for the sun, neither for the moon, for God will be the light of the temple. There'll be no more sea. I mean, God has something so massively, wonderfully in store when all the monsters are gone. And part of it is found right here in Isaiah chapter 2. The word that Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. It shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. Many people shall go and say, come ye and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his ways. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. Praise God. Now, it says that this will come to pass in the last days, right? That's what it is, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And then it says, many people shall go and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Well, some people say that that's in the ultimate future, right? I mean, that's going to be a time when the government of God will be on the earth. But what about Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22 reads this way. And in context, it's just a comparison to the Old Testament and the New Testament. But here's what we read. In Hebrews 12:22, it simply says, but you are come. That means 2,000 years ago, the writer of the book of Hebrews was telling the followers of Yeshua the Messiah, you are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God. Now, Isaiah said that in the last days, people would come to the mountain of the Lord, and out of Zion would go forth the law of the Lord, and out of Jerusalem his word, right? So he's telling the people 2,000 years ago, which is after Isaiah's prophecy, that you are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. So the reality is that this mountain that Isaiah was referring to is a heavenly Jerusalem. It is a spiritual kingdom. Those who have been born again have migrated to the mountain of the Lord and have heard the law of the Lord come out of the mouth of the Messiah, and are walking in his ways. Are you and I walking in the ways of the Lord? Has the law of the Lord gone forth out of Zion, the spiritual mountain of the Lord, the headquarters, the new Jerusalem? Well, when we read the new covenant, when we hear the word of the Lord come out of the mouth of Yeshua, that is the law of the Lord. There's not going to come some new law in a future millennium. You and I belong to the last days, because it was in the last days of Israel's economy that this mountain of the Lord would bring forth the word of the Lord. So in 70 AD, when the finality of the temple was gone and there was no longer any practice in the law, well, the word of the Lord came out of Yeshua, the King of Kings, the King of the mountain, if you will, the King of glory. And this is when people from all over the world, it said, all nations will flow unto it. All nations will flow unto this city of God, this mountain of the Lord. And it is for the last 2,000 years that nations around the world have been flowing. That's people, tribes, tongues, languages. And each one that has made their way to the mountain of the Lord have received the word of the Lord or walking in his ways. There's a restoration. So this is exciting, but we also know that that which is spiritual, that which is invisible, that which is unseen, will ultimately become a reality. And so as real as it is in our hearts and minds is as real as it will be. And if it's not real to us, it doesn't stop that which is real from becoming a reality. It just means we haven't really connected with it. So if we're born again Our spirits have come. You are come to Mount Zion. You are come to the city of God. Not you will come. You have come. You have heard the word of the Lord. You have heard the law of the Lord come out of the mouth of the Messiah. And you have to admit, that is pretty awesome. So even though we live in a fallen world, and even though there are monsters everywhere, you and I have fled for a refuge. We have fled for a refuge from the storm that is upon the nations of the earth. And what is our refuge? Well, Messiah Yeshua is our refuge. Now, I want to get back into that language because I want to go back to the coming storm. There's obviously a massive storm, and the scriptures have something to say about this storm. But I want to just talk about something else for a moment. I couldn't believe this. You talk about a sin-sick world. You talk about a nation that has gone psychotic. I mean, it is sick. We've said this before in Isaiah chapter 1. We parallel that. And we're allowed to do that because Corinthians says the things that were written of old were written for our admonition, right, and for our learning. We actually learn about God by what was in the Old Testament. So we're not the kind of people that do away with the Old Testament at all. We actually learn much from the Old Testament. And Isaiah cried out to his generation and said, "You're sick from the top of your head to the soles of your feet." And we cried out along with him that if Isaiah were in America today, he'd say to this Judeo-Christian country, "You are sick from the top of your head to the tips of your toes. You're bipolar, you're double-minded, you're split, you're schizophrenic. You've got some major problems," and that is a simple reality of where we are today. So, but this is just an evidence of the sickness, okay? This is an evidence of the sickness. This is real. I'm not making this up. This comes from CBN, all right, the Christian Broadcasting News Network. A father says that his six-year-old son refuses mom's demand to dress like a girl. Now, he's being charged with child abuse. Yeah, you can't believe this. A Texas father is in the middle of a high-stakes legal battle that could end in him losing his son. Jeffrey Younger has been charged with child abuse for not affirming his ex-wife's decision to raise their son James as a girl. Well, according to court documents, James's gender identity depends on which parent he is staying with. He dresses as a little girl only when he is with his mother, who calls him Luna. However, Jeffrey told the Federalist his son insists on wearing boys' clothes and violently refuses to wear girls' clothes at my home. Well, the mother accuses Jeffrey of emotionally abusive behavior towards James by refusing to affirm his identity as a girl. Court documents list at least one example of abuse, which including cutting James's hair and other non-affirming actions. And although unclear if this behavior rises to the level of family violence at this time, the father's aggression is becoming more common and more intense, the documents say. The Federalist reports the mother wants to strip Jeffrey of his parental rights. She is also seeking to require him to pay for the child's visits to a transgender-affirming therapist and transgender medical alterations, which may include hormonal sterilization, starting at age 8, the report continues. James's mother has taken him to see a transition therapist who diagnosed him with gender dysphoria. However, the therapist notes that James prefers to be called Luna when he is with his mother, but prefers to be called James when he is with his father. Well, eyewitness accounts support Jeffrey's observations of James preferring to be a boy. Based on the three occasions I've spent with him, I'd say he acts and looks unmistakably like a healthy six-year-old boy. I'm praying for James, an average six-year-old boy, a sweet-natured, intelligent, lovable, at this point particularly vulnerable young man, caught up in a titanic clash of worldviews, Bill Lovell, the senior pastor of Christ Church Carrollton, said. James's case is not the first, and it won't be the last. The American Academy of Pediatrics published finding that more children are beginning to use non-traditional gender terms to self-identify. Some parents are even allowing their children to choose their own gender. Dr. Michelle Cretella, executive director of the American College of Pediatricians, telling children they were simply born in the wrong body disrupts the very foundation of a child's reality testing. If a child can't trust the reality of their physical bodies, who or what can they trust? She asked in a Daily Signal video. In the meantime, friends of the younger family have started an online campaign called Save James. They ask people to raise awareness and pray for James. They have even created an intercessory guide to lead people in how to pray. Sarah Scott, who is one of the people behind Save James, told CBN News, pray for wisdom for all those involved. Pray that their mother will have a change of heart. She added that gender isn't about likes and dislikes. It's about how God made you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, does it get any stranger than that? I mean, stranger than fiction, somebody once said. What a sad case. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for James right now that his little soul living in that male body will come into a union, that there will be a male hormone that will be ignited, and that James will look at his mother one day and say, Mom, you have some serious issues. I hate what you're doing to me. I am not a girl. I'm never going to be a girl. I'm a full-grown man. I'm a boy, and my father is going to teach me how to be a boy in Jesus' name. And Lord, we just break that curse off of him, and we rebuke that LGBTQ movement against his soul with this madness and sickness that is in our society. And we pray for his father, Jeffrey's great success, Lord. We ask you for great success, that little James will be in the care of his father and his mother will be held accountable for such foolish behavior. And in agreement with the prayer, we ask that she will come to a place of repentance and conviction, and that she will wake up from the delusion and get born again and get saved, regardless of her problems that she's having with God or anybody else on this planet. We ask this in Jesus' name. Someone say amen, amen, and amen. Well, how are you all doing today? I wonder how everybody's doing. I want you to know that it is Thursday. It's a great day, and we're doing good here. And what do you think about that, by the way? What do you think about that case? And, you know, someone said it's not the last one. It's just the beginning. These types of events are going on all over this country. So getting back to my childhood, when I was riding my bike and everybody was happy that they caught the serial killer, and everybody felt free again. Wow, we could breathe again. Well, isn't it time to see some monsters go to jail? And today on Fox News, they were showing a picture of all these people in prison. Hillary, Barack Obama, you know, all of them. They're all in prison. And there's been a prophetic word out there for some period of time that this would actually become a reality. And nobody really knows. But this is, wouldn't that be fun to see all these people in prison? But, you know, there's got to be a lot more. All the subversive, treasonous people in our country that have been working to undermine the fabric of our society, our great American values, our Christian values. Yesterday on Kerm Radio, I read how in 1892, I believe it was, that Joseph Story, one of the great Supreme Court justices in the United States, how he ruled emphatically that the United States of America is no doubt overwhelmingly a Christian nation. And so Barack Obama comes along in this sin sick society that we live in today in one generation, and he says, we're not a Christian nation anymore. And everybody believes him, at least the people that follow him do. I don't believe it for a second. I believe the judgment of God that's on our nation is because we are a Judeo-Christian nation. And as God judged Israel, so he's judging us. And that's the wisdom of Scripture, how God dealt with his nation through the prophets and the messages and the things that came to pass. You look at our country today, and you don't have to be confused about what's going on. All you have to do is read the Bible and you'll understand it perfectly. And so what are your thoughts about this? You know, what are your thoughts about Jeffrey James? I want to have conversation with you today. The number to call is 818-369-0326. 818-369-0326. And while we're waiting for calls, remember to press 1 on your dial pad. 818-369-0326. I want to shout out to Brother Paul Petit. That's right. Paul Petit, Kyle Brian and I, we started this Omega Radio Network, which we're not broadcasting on right now. I'll tell you all about it in just a second. But we built this ministry, the Watchman Omega Radio Ministry, and today is Paul Petit's birthday. And so we want to say happy birthday to him, and we ask the Lord to bless the year ahead of his life. We ask today would be filled with great things, and I know it's going to be. He's going to see his kids and his wife and all the great stuff that a man could ever ask for in this life. And so happy birthday, Paul Petit. In the interim, while we're waiting for your calls to come in, I know I open the lines up because I know people are very vivacious about communicating, and don't wait till the end of the broadcast where we got to cut you short. All right. You know, this is the time right now. I mean, I just read to you a report about the insanity, and yet it actually measures to the Word of God. This is what it means to be sick from the top of your head to the tips of your toes. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're born again, you've gone to Mount Zion. You're not supposed to be partaking or involved in that insanity. You're in a restoration. You're in a healing as one that is being born again. All right. So let's take our first call from one of our brave callers coming out of area code 605. Good morning. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning. What you were talking about. And come to me, it's a perversion in the land all over the world, of course, including America. Then I thought, you know, in the Bible when it talked about Ananias and Sapphira, you know, God killed them, didn't he? Because they lied. Well, I don't know if God's going to start having to remove people that are corrupt or what. What's your feeling about that?
Well, you know what's so interesting, Kathy? Is it there's like these two parallel realities going on, and they're not confused. One of them is that we have a very strong impression within us, and we could be wrong. And we have to say that up front. At the moment, we could be wrong. You've got to give place to that possibility. But the impression very strongly is that we've crossed the point of no return. This darkness that has come is coming more rapidly, more intensified. They want to take out Donald Trump. They want to impeach him. They want to assassinate him. They want to get rid of him because he's a threat to this movement that is so dark and ugly and divisive and desperate in every way. And part of that is the judgment of a divided nation, and that we've just – but then on the other side, we have this – we know that our God rules. We know that God is not getting beat up by a few communists or people that hate him, you know, and we would love to see God's divine justice move through this nation. And we would love to watch on television Barack Obama go to prison, Hillary and Bill go to prison, and all their crimes come out. I mean, people would love to see justice, just like we did when I was a little boy, and everybody finally rejoiced because the serial killer was caught. So, yes, we want to see justice. And yet that is in God's hand and in God's timing. And yet there are some words out there that this is exactly what is going to happen. And yet we're surrounded by fires and floods and tornadoes and hurricanes and shootings and, you know, illegal immigrations and, you know, all these different things. There's so much going on. It really does resemble a great storm, does it not?
Yeah. I believe we just got to give this some time, and God is getting this corruption out, and it's happening all over. And, you know, I believe that God gives people dreams, and I don't know, but I do have dreams. And last night, I was telling my husband this morning at breakfast, I said, I've had a dream about Obama. And about 2 weeks ago, I had one about Hillary that she was hiding underneath a desk. Well, this last night I had this dream about Obama, and I think it's a sign from God. I don't know. And I saw this bridge. Then I saw a body of water, and then I saw Obama's head, and his head was just above, but it was a bad situation. So I don't know if God is saying it's over or something's coming, but I'm just going to wait and see.
Yeah, yeah, and you step back, and it's easy to point the finger, and I agree with you, by the way. I mean, it's easy to point the finger at Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, but the citizenry of the country has to take responsibility for what we've enjoyed. For example, I was reading out of Isaiah chapter 2 this morning, and listen to this. I mean, this is what God says to his own people in verse 5 of Isaiah 2. He says, "O house of Jacob, come ye and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Therefore, thou hast forsaken thy people, the house of Jacob, because they be replenished from the east," which means they went to the east and worshiped their idols, "and are soothsayers like the Philistines, and they please themselves in the children of strangers." You see, and God was saying to his people, you're living in the Philistine economy of things, and you're worshiping their idols, and you have sinned against the Lord. You've turned away. So when we look at America, the church in America, for example, who is supposed to be the salt and the light and the compass of the nations, and we see that God's own people are participating in the rated R movies. God's own people are participating in pornography. God's own people are fornicating. God's own people are getting divorced. God's own people are, you know, tolerant and quiet over things that are so wicked and evil. So the ecclesia, the church, the people that were supposed to represent the mind of God, they went silent. They began to voice a prosperity gospel and everything's okay and you got to just love everybody. And look at us. We haven't done our job. So I want to see justice against people that light up the White House with the rainbow colors after, you know, forcing a legislative law in the face of the people. Yes, you want to see that. But again, we have to hold ourselves accountable too, right?
Right. Now, I believe that this darkness that's covering the earth, gross darkness to people, but there's also the glory of God. These two are going to be parallel. What is when God is cleaning up and getting this bride ready. So I think we have to just really be cautious, like you said, and just say, okay, God, you're in command. I just want to follow you. And as far as the citizens of these countries, well, I think they've been dumbed down, and they're not aware because they love, like you said, the Baal worship.
Right.
Hello?
Kathy, listen to this, and you're right on, but maybe this is part of your dream right here. In the same chapter of Isaiah chapter 2, and I'll just pick up where it says in verse 7. This is speaking of God's people living in the Philistine economy of things. God doesn't like it at all. And he tells what their economy looked like. And in verse 6, he says, "Therefore thou hast forsaken thy people, the house of Jacob, because they be replenished from the east. They are soothsayers like the Philistines. They please themselves and the children of strangers. Their land also is full of silver and gold, neither is there any end of their treasures. Their land is also full of horses, neither is there any end of their chariots. Their land is also full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands, that which their own fingers have made. And the mean man bows down, the great man humbles himself, therefore forgive them not." Now listen to this. This is what I think the imagery of what we're seeing with all these people going to prison. Verse 10. "Enter into the rock and hide thee in the dust for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low, upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, and upon all the oaks of Bashan, and upon all the high mountains, and upon all the high hills, the hills that are lifted up, and upon every high tower, and upon every fenced wall, upon the ships, all the ships of Tarshish, and upon all pleasant pictures. And the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day, and the idols shall be utterly abolished. And they shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty when he arises to shake terribly the earth. In that day a man shall cast his idols of silver, his idols of gold, which they made each one for himself to worship, to the moles and to the bats, to go into the clefts of the rocks and into the tops of the ragged rocks for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty when he arises to shake terribly the earth. Wow. And this is totally connected to Revelation chapter 6, but what a time for the great men of the earth to bow low. I wonder again if we're not standing on the precipice of the opening of the sixth seal, Kathy. What do you think?
Well, that scripture says it all. What was that? Isaiah what? I want to read that later.
Yeah, that's Isaiah chapter 2, and you just begin right around verse 6.
Okay, that was
to
that's
the end.
It.
Pride, that's it.
P-R-I-D-E. And the Bible does say pride comes before a fall.
Amen. And amen.
That's where we're at. That's it. It's unfolding.
It's unfolding. And Kathy, isn't it amazing that the book of Revelation actually has the same exact language when the sixth seal opens, and it opens with an earthquake, and Isaiah chapter 2 literally says when God arises to shake terribly the earth? He says it twice in Isaiah 2.
So, in your understanding then, the shaking is spiritually and literally also, you believe?
Absolutely, beyond the shadow of a doubt. Oh, yeah. I mean, we've got this physiologist and geologist out of Canada that's now warning we're just days away on the West Coast, that massive earthquake, the same guy that predicted all the hurricanes that happened in the last 2 years.
Okay, yes. And I remember this statement years ago. He said, all truth is parallel. And I said, well, what does this really mean? They said, whatever you read in the Bible, it comes in the spiritual, but it also it happens in the natural.
Absolutely. I believe in that totally. But here's the good news, Kathy. In Isaiah chapter 4, verse 6, there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge, and for a covert from storm and from rain. And then in Isaiah 25, verse 4, for thou, God, has been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. And you know what? There's a storm coming up from the south. There's a storm brewing in the north. And I wouldn't be surprised if there's not one coming from the east and the west as well. A perfect storm against our nation. We've heard about it for years, but yet in the very midst of the storm, there is a refuge. There is a covert. There is a Psalm 91 reality for the people who know their God.
Yes, Psalm 91. Now, you know, there's a word. It's called, the Lord always brought this out in the Bible. It's brought out trust. Trusting God. And that's a place I am longing in my own spirit to believe that I can completely do that. And you really have to be stripped from a lot of your thinking that you've had in your carnal mind and thinking when you say, I'm going to trust God. Trust.
Amen. Amen. Trust is everything. And Kathy, I was looking at that verse where it says there'll be a tabernacle. That word tabernacle is a sukkah. And then that's in the Hebrew, a sukkah. This is the same thing, a temporary shelter, a covert, a booth. And we're talking about the Feast of Booths or the Feast of Tabernacles. And it literally in the definition talks about the Feast of Booths of Branches for the Tabernacles. And there's a tabernacle of David. There's a tabernacle of God, the Feast of Tabernacles, which basically tells me that the refuge from the storm is the ecclesia itself. that we are the tabernacle. We are the body of Christ. And there is a, we are a tabernacle, a refuge for people. And we need to really understand these things. I think they're so important.
Oh, that is the truth. I just opened my Bible, and when you're talking, and it's Luke 10, and it's in red letters. And here's what Jesus said. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into the harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lamb among wolves. Who are the wolves?
They're the monsters everywhere. Absolutely.
Well, they could come in any shape and form through a human also.
That's right. That's right. There's monsters everywhere. And I love in the book of Revelation where he's going to take the dragon, the beast, the false prophet, and cast them in the lake of fire. That's the finality of the leaders of the monsters. And but our world is filled with very, very sick people. I mean, a mother that would sue a father because he wants his son to be a boy, Kathy. Can you believe that? That is insanity at its worst.
This strong delusion and this perverted spirit that has settled in America, and it's in other countries as well, but it's getting darker. The evil.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's why we're called to walk in the light. And the gray zone is gone. It's being diminished. You're taken aside today. You're either in or you're out. There is no middle ground. Judgment has come to the valley of decision. And people that are still kind of walking the fence, it's not going to go well. And this is a decision that has to be made from the heart. What side of the day are you on? What side of the day am I on? Am I going to be in the dark side or am I going to be in the light side? Because both sides are growing exponentially to their full zenith. And so, I mean, the darkness that's coming, and then the Christian community that say they believe but really don't, they're getting consumed in the darkness. They don't even really recognize the truth about it. It's just a very intense time. My God, is it intense to be alive today.
Yes. Now that goes along what you're bringing out right now with that a couple days or more ago, you read that Tommy Hicks vision and the people that he thought was going to enter in and receive the glory. They went away and they went into darkness.
Yes. Yes, they did.
It's a serious power.
But here's the thing. Yeah, you're right. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, the seriousness of the hour is like you just brought out about you're going to have to take a choice here in your heart. Do you want to really go all the way with the Lord Jesus Christ and surrender and move in the Spirit with what God is telling, or are you going to have your own ways? And boy, that is where the crossroads, it's here. I thank God because you know what? This Bible has to be fulfilled. The Word of God has to be fulfilled. And let the power and the glory of God come upon the earth so Jesus Christ can come and rule and reign, and we can rule and reign with him.
Amen. And you know what's so awesome? We have come to Mount Zion. We have come. We're not going. We have spiritually migrated. We are seated at the right hand of God in Christ Jesus, far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, and every name named. We are literally in some kind of genuine, I'm not talking about just esoterical thought and idea. We have some substance in heaven at the right hand of God in Christ Jesus. That's what Ephesians 2 says. Not just a mystical idea, but there is some spiritual substance or some solical substance or some kind of substance of our existence that is at the right hand of God right now. We can enjoy the benefits and blessings of being obedient to the law of the Lord that has come out of the mouth of the Messiah, and we could walk in the abundance and the fruitfulness of that inward reality, that inward joy of knowing that this life is but a vapor. We are here today and gone tomorrow. And I am excited about the prospect of eternity before us, and watching all these end time events is just a time for God's people to lift their voice like a trumpet, tell everybody they know, repent of your sins. Repent. Don't let people stay in their darkness. Tell them the truth until they hate you so bad and say, never, ever, ever talk to me again. Keep telling people the truth. Perhaps we could save some souls along the way.
Amen. You know, I am so happy to know that Jesus Christ is going to be lifted up, and he is going to get the glory for what is going to be done in the earth. And we're starting to move into this. And you know what? Every time God has moved in the years gone by, man has always tried to put a corner on it, make some doctrine or church. This time, God says, Jesus Christ is going to be lifted up.
Amen. And that's in Isaiah 2. The only the Lord will be exalted in that day. And you know what I love, Kathy? What brings such joy and peace to my heart is that I know that I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. I mean, there is no doubt that I am living exactly where God has supernaturally led my wife and I and some of our friends and family into Northwest Arkansas. And other people should know that if you're in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing with the right people right now, regardless of what's going around, whatever the cultural, social, moral condition is, you know, we invade that with truth. We invade that with life. We keep bringing the witness of Jesus Christ by our conduct, our actions, our behavior, and by preaching the good news to everybody that will hear. But I just thank God that I can live one day at a time, because there's enough evil in one day. So don't worry about tomorrow. But at least I know that while I'm living one day at a time, I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. And how supernatural. Kathy, do you recall that when we left California by a supernatural unction for meeting a man down in Louisiana that told me where we should be, where I already was months ago, but the day we arrived here, the very day on October 4th, 2009, we went to the big Walmart shopping center to purchase food. That very moment, Carolyn and Scott Buss came across the parking lot, not even knowing us, but Carolyn was saying, excuse me, I just heard you're new in town. I want to welcome you. You know, and I think you're Christians by the conversation I heard. And Patricia said to her, oh, well, my husband is a pastor. She said, oh, really? What's your name? I said, Vincent Xavier. She said, you're not those people from California. And she said, yes. She said, we've been praying for you for years. Vincent, you spoke at a conference near Branson, Missouri. I was playing the piano. My husband, Scott, was playing the violin. And you were singing in the spirit and prophesying. We've been praying for you guys. And then they invited us to their church. And where was their church? It was the new building that they built, which people were telling us about while we were on a Feast of Tabernacles cruise with Kaz Rakowski going down to Acapulco on a seven-day Caribbean cruise, an Acapulco Mexican Riviera cruise. And they were telling us about a building in a place called Bella Vista, Arkansas, which I knew nothing about, that they were going to build one day. And all of a sudden, we show up that day wondering, what did we do? We just left our beautiful home in a beautiful place called San Diego, California, to come to Arkansas. And yet that very day, we're invited to go to a church that didn't even exist when we were on that ship, but now it existed. And there they are at that very moment to invite us there. I mean, God lets us know that we're in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing with the right people right now, working out our salvation with fear and trembling. I'm happy about that. How about you?
Yes, very interesting. I did not know you and Patricia, you know, until about 7 years ago. But the steps of a righteous person is led of the Lord. And that's what happened, I believe, at Walmart with the meeting. And it's just like a plan. You know, God has a plan for our life, and he lays it out. He don't show us everything at one time. But we have to be patient, and it's moving in that direction. So Oh, yeah, I thank God that you guys came into this area. We'd have never heard of you.
Well, that's right. And you know what's amazing, too, Kathy? When we got here, before we left California, a intercessor, Diane Tumaneri, she was in our church as a lead intercessor. She was a prayer warrior extraordinaire. And she told us, now, when you guys go to Arkansas, make sure you look up this man and his wife. And she told us their names. And so we moved here, and she would call, did you guys look up this man and his wife? And I would say, well, we're kind of busy. We're going through stuff. Not yet. And I just never got around to it. And a year later, she'd call. Did you guys meet this man and his wife? Did you contact them? You need to contact them. And I just never did. We just never did. And then one day, a couple of years later, about, oh, I'd say this is good 7 years ago, I would imagine, Mr. B, my wonderful father-in-law, and I were sitting at a tea party that Carolyn and Scott were putting together, and there's over 100 people there, and their kids were coming with their music, and Mr. B and I were sitting at the back table eating cookies, hoping we wouldn't get caught by Patricia, and I noticed this guy comes up, and he looks very chipper, and he's walking by, and we kind of got some eye contact. And he walked into the back room, and then he came back, and we looked at each other again, and we started a conversation. Well, as we're talking and conversing, it came to pass that this is the man that Diane was trying to tell us to contact, and we never did contact him. And who is that man? Pastor Ken Wagner and his wife, Peggy. I mean, we were brought together supernaturally, and now we've been laboring together and enjoying fellowship for several years together. So God is in the business of doing the supernatural, is he not?
Yes. Somebody told me about 3 years ago they used the word networking. And I thought, what the world? I've never heard that word. And then that's what it, I believe now, the terminology nowadays, you know, is God is putting people together, and it's and he uses some people to do this and that, and then the connection is because the body of Christ is all over, even America and every state, you know, and we need to know that, know people by the Spirit. And, well, that's beautiful how God brought you with the Wagners and everything that's bringing to pass what God wants.
And you know why he did it? He did it so that we wouldn't be sitting in Arkansas one day saying, what the heck are we doing here? We made a move based upon our emotions or upon our knowledge or our intellect or our reasoning. No, we were divinely led by the Holy Spirit into this very place, at this very desk that I'm sitting at, over this microphone, at this moment, right now. This has all been ordained by God. And it is absolutely marvelous that we could live today and then have a hope that the day for our salvation, whether it's by resurrection or by translation, being changed in the moment of the twinkling of an eye, there is a supernatural future connected to those who are born again. Wow, is that exciting?
Praise the Lord. Well, you're talking now, it just come to me. I mean, when I hear people talk, I just examine my own heart, you know, with what is being said. And I thought, oh, God, you're taking your people out of their comfort zones. But, you know, that we think as a natural person, oh, this is my comfort. But God has something even better if we could trust him.
Amen. So you're getting back to trust again. And in all of our doing on this earth, in all of our ministries, our proclamations, our warnings, our exhortations, our encouragements to the body of Christ, everything that we do is all being tallied up in God's books. I mean, there's no doubt about every action, every word, everything. He knows the thoughts of our mind, right? So everything about us is being tallied up. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us deeply from the inside out. And God is, you know, he's just an amazing God. He is such a good God. And why wouldn't we trust him? I mean, when we put our faith in what his word says, There's a supernatural comfort that comes to us. And yes, God can be trusted, Kathy. There's no doubt about it. We can trust in him and rejoice in him and worship him and praise him and love on him and bless him. Spend the whole day just praising God. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And you know what's awesome? What we're doing on this earth right now, whatever it is, it's like 1/100th of a smidgen of a percentage of what God has planned for our eternal reality. I mean, I can't even imagine what God has prepared for those who love him. I mean, it's so far beyond comprehension. All I know is that everybody labors in this life for a moment. Paul the Apostle, he was beaten with rods. He was shipwrecked. He was bit by a snake. He was betrayed by his own people. I mean, he was stranded in the sea. He was in prison with blood dripping down his back, praising God. And yet his moment was useful to bring the word of God to us. But when he left this earth, man, oh, man, he went into some kind of glory that it's just inexpressible. And we know that he went somewhere, and we know that our loved ones who love the Lord went somewhere, and one day we're going to be with them. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. That goes right along with Psalms 91, verse 2. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Wow, that's about sums it up in that. Refuge. That's our refuge. And it isn't our money, and it isn't, you know, our wealth, like it says. That's not going to deliver us in the day of God's wrath. It will be our righteousness. And there's our refuge and a fortress. What does a fortress mean, really?
Amen. You know, Kathy, as you're talking, I fully agree that the Lord is our refuge. But I also know that these refugees that are marching up from the south, they're now declaring that they're very, very sick. They're getting sick. And in the last days, with what God said we would have to walk through, which is not a big deal. We will go through it by the grace of God and by the Spirit of God, just like we've gone through all the trials that we've already gone through that have just been building us up, getting ready for this moment. And so God has warned us to prepare some things and to use our wealth to get food and the water and this, that, and the other thing. And, you know, to be ready to go for a camping trip out in the wilderness for a few years. So while there's nothing in and of itself that gives us salvation or protection, but God himself, who could give us water out of a rock and food from heaven, he could have the ravens bring us our meat. That's not a problem. So we do prepare, and that's a good thing. That's a right thing to do, especially if God said it was like the days of Noah and you got to prepare your ark and all that good stuff. But ultimately, yes, I have faith in Jesus Christ. But faith without works is dead. And when the Lord says prepare, you got to prepare, right?
Definitely. I believe that there is going to be that period of time here in America when you're going to have to rely on what God has told you to do. And then you'll have to divvy it out and help people as the Lord directs you. But I also believe that it'll come to the place where, like, where God wants to have you, and you won't be able to get on an airplane and go. I believe we're going to walk with the Lord, and we're going to have to be transported in the Spirit, go and minister as the Lord wants us to, and he'll bring us back into our bodies. And it's going to be powerful. We haven't, some people have probably touched into that already, but that's where I believe God wants to take his army.
What if we all fasted for 40 days? What if a body of believers just fasted for 40 days for that reality to become a reality, a tangible reality, for the kingdom of God to move in such an expressive way that we will see the book of Acts repeated in a double portion power right in the midst of the greatest storm to ever hit the face of the earth? You know, they were just showing a refugee in Mexico, and he came up from Guatemala, and they were interviewing him, and he said, they lied to us. We were lied to from the very beginning. He said, now we're all coming here. And he said, there's thousands more coming. And he said, unfortunately, we're going to get to a breaking point and we're just all going to rush the gate. We're all going to go rush the gate. And man, if they start firing shots, this is going to be brutal. But it was so sad to hear that one guy say, they lied to us from the beginning. I wonder what that was. I don't believe it was staged when I saw the guy that said it. So you talk about a storm coming against the wall. Well, this is going to, you know, this could engage us into World War III overnight.
Absolutely. And as far as fasting, I think some of us would be dead after 40 days. You have to go according to what the Lord tells you. You know, but I believe people can fast that long, really. But some can't. And so that would have to be because Jesus said that. This devils aren't going to come out except you pray and fast. I don't know how many days they had to do it for that. But I believe in that. But the other thing is these refugees, you know, you know what? It could be such a mess that they start killing each other there, right in that country, in Tijuana.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of potential for violence. And you just look north of the border and you see all those violent fires that just destroyed tens of thousands of people's homes and the billions and billions of dollars of damage. And then, of course, the unpriceable damage of lost souls, people that died in that fire and just terrible destruction on the West Coast. And now a prediction for a massive earthquake reaching into the 9-point-something on the Richter scale. Can you imagine that kind of an earthquake because a people have been so defiant against the Lord? And this is where we want to sit back emotionally and say, oh, God, you would never do that. Well, the fires are burning. The refugees are coming. And there are over 600 criminals. Do you know if they can just get 12 Al-Qaeda, let's just use that as a term, 12 ISIS warriors, 12 Al-Qaeda terrorists snuck into this border, which you're probably doing. I have a feeling that there's a tunnel out in the Pacific Ocean that wraps around that they actually tunneled under the water. Now, I don't know if that's true. That came into my spirit a while ago. So if they could just get some people in here with particular parts to do what prophets have said they were going to do to this country and the cities of America would be destroyed, I don't know. I don't know. Only God knows. But we're just going to be thankful to be in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing with the right people right now. And that's what we do. Amen.
Amen.
It's been awesome talking with you, Kathy.
Yeah, God bless.
God bless you, too. That was a great conversation. I really appreciated talking with Kathy all the way from South Dakota on this Thursday morning. You're listening to The Watchman. Hey, here's the deal. Our computer has crashed, and that's why we're not on Omega Radio. And if you happen to be listening to this broadcast right now, it's a sincere plea. From the heart, you see, there are many ministries out there. Everybody's got their voice. They've got their picture, their faces on the internet, their voices out there, YouTubes. Omega Radio is a ministry that is in need of a new computer, and it needs to be a computer that can handle the load of a 24/7 radio station. And so if there is any unction within you to support this ministry financially to buy a new computer, so that we can get the voice out as God has given us to do, we would certainly appreciate you valuing this ministry, acknowledging that it is from the Lord. And if you believe that it is from the Lord, then we're asking for your support. Right now, there's a computer that we need. It's at Best Buy. It's a gaming computer that has everything, solid state, the whole bit. And I think it would be a worthy computer for the ministry that we have. It's right now priced at $1,599. That's $1,600. So if anybody out there would like to donate $1,600 for a computer for that very specific purpose to keep our Omega Radio, which, by the way, on this computer, we get all the software we need, which is Winamp and the Rev Media, and we get back onto the Omega Radio connection, we would appreciate that. Okay, right now I'm using a very unsophisticated system. But, you know, we want to actually go to our website if you are interested in bringing support. 16 people can give $100. We could buy that right now. And I'd rather not delay. I'd love to Monday morning be able to go to Best Buy today or tomorrow, pick up that computer because someone says, hey, it's done. You've got the money. We'll go buy the computer. We'll have it set up for Monday morning. I would love to have that done if you are willing to do so. I believe it's late. We have work to do. That is our plea. I haven't made a plea for finances at all for a very long time on these radio broadcasts. We do it without charge, without pricing, but we have a crisis. We need a computer. We need a really good computer for perhaps what God is going to be bringing us into, if the Lord puts it on your heart. Thank you so much. God bless you. Lord willing, we'll be back on the air tomorrow, as I don't believe we have any meetings. Normally, every once in a while, we have these Friday morning meetings where we meet with ministry leaders in an apostolic roundtable discussion, which is pretty amazing. But I'm pretty sure we'll be back on the air tomorrow. If not, we'll put it out in a text message, and we'll see you soon. God bless everybody. Be in the right place, the right time, doing the right thing with the right people right now. You cannot go wrong. God bless and shalom.